Welcome to a new series on designing and developing applications for Surface Hub. Over this series, we're going to explain how to build great, fantastic Surface Hub applications that take advantage of this device so that your apps can work well and utilize the features that the Surface Hub is designed for.
Nice.
I'm Neil Rudin. I've been working with Microsoft for over 20 years as a vendor. I'm a Microsoft Most Valuable Professional. I'm also a regional director for Microsoft. And I've been spending the last 5 or 6 years focused on how do multiple people engage with a single screen at the same time. And there's lots of different ways that that happens. And Surface Hub represents some of the newest thinking around creating team devices and shared space engagement.
Awesome. So I'm Shankar Nemani. I'm a PM in the Windows Devices Group, and I work in a team called Partner App Experience. My team's charter is to make sure app developers are being successful on Windows 10 and Universal Windows Programming Model, which is what you need to develop wonderful apps on this fantastic device. And we'll talk more about that.
Excellent. So over the series, we're going to go through this session, which is an introduction. The next session will be an overview of the design and how you design rich applications for Surface Hub. And then we have a whole set of tutorials to help you understand the code that you need to write in order to switch on the different features of the hub and take advantage of what this device provides for you.
And that's where you'll see hands-on samples and stuff like that.
Right. Okay. So, what is this device? Maybe a good starting point
as we
start talking about it is, what is Surface Hub?
Absolutely. So on the surface, no pun intended, it looks like a large all-in-one with Windows 10 running on it. But to me, it's much more than that. I mean, it's a fantastic device that's been designed from the ground up to advance the human collaboration in a more natural way with all the human touch and pen and that kind of stuff. And we'll see more of that in a minute.
Great. Now, typically, this is in a fixed location, right? So this would be in a meeting room, probably attached to a wall.
Right.
It's not a personal device. It's not something that I would carry around with me, like my laptop. And so there's things to think about when you're building your application for a space,
right?
There's a physicality of that space. You'd find it as you walk into that space, and it would be a resource in that space.
Absolutely. Right? And of course, if you want to move from one room to another room, there are rolling stands that are available for both the 84-inch and 55-inch Surface Hubs, and you can use those to have some mobility also.
Right. It is also internet connected, as you'd expect in this day and age. That means that with both Wi-Fi and Ethernet, you can connect through to your resources that you have up online or in the cloud. And by default, the product is designed to be connected through an Active Directory account.
Got it. And
because your Active Directory account is switched on, it also means that you're connected through and enabled for Office 365, SharePoint, etc. And that means there's a whole bunch of first-party apps as well, right?
Yeah. Like Skype for Business and things like that. So does it mean that it's like just like a room in your GAL when you open Outlook? Is it set up like that, which has its own Active Directory account and it can access some resources based on the permission setup?
Correct. Okay. So you'll see it as a resource in your address list.
I see.
And when you look it up, you can book it. So it has the ability to book this as a resource and say, I want to book this Surface Hub for a meeting.
Got it.
And actually, there's a whole bunch of things that trigger in the first-party apps when you do that. So when you walk into a meeting where you've booked the hub will automatically bring up a screen showing you, do you want to join the meeting?
You can just get going immediately.
And you can just go straight into that meeting. Yeah, it is multi-user and multi-touch. So, I mean, the more we think about things in the current way of the world, we see that devices are more and more multi-touch, and we've got used to that maybe in the last 10 years.
Right.
One of the things that we haven't really encountered a lot is multi-user. And because the screen is so big, because there's 84 inches of screen, and you can see here, I actually can't touch Shanghai here, right? Yeah. So there's a distance, and that means that we can, 2, 3, 4 people can be working on the screen at the same time. So when you're building a piece of software for this, you need to think about that your application should take advantage of not just multi-touch, but multi-user.
Yeah, it's really designed for collaboration and bringing people together and, use it by multiple users.
Right. Now, it is a Windows 10 machine, but one of the things to think about is that the applications run either full screen,
right,
or half screen or section of screen. They don't run windowed. So actually, Sankar, do you want to bring up maybe whiteboard?
Absolutely, yeah.
And here we can see how we can share a screen between
the two apps.
Oh,
if I can get the way.
There we go.
There you go.
And so now you can see that I've got the PowerPoint presentation here on the left-hand side, and Shankar's got the whiteboard application running on the right-hand side, and he could start drawing on that while I'm talking to the PowerPoint presentation or annotating the PowerPoint presentation. Okay. Now, this means that you need to think about how your application fits into a space like this. Your application will run full screen. And there's a reason for this, right?
Right.
We want the focus of the meeting, of the class, of the engagement to be on the content,
right,
not distracted by lots of other things.
Exactly. So in that sense, it's very different from the Windows desktop PC where you're used to dealing with multiple windows and being active at the same time and things like that. So as a developer, you should know that.
Right.
And the reason is to make sure, the attention is on as few things as possible when you're meeting and working with your colleagues.
Excellent. So the other thing, or one other thing to note, is that there are two cameras, one on each side of the screen. And those cameras can be utilized by your application to pull in, obviously, a video feed or snapshot of what is in front of the screen. And there's applications where this obviously makes sense, like Skype or some video conferencing.
Yeah.
But there's maybe other ways that your application can take advantage of the fact that there are these two cameras.
So the application developers will get feed from both videos, and then they can decide what they want to do from in
right,
the app.
So they can switch on a feed from both of the cameras, and then they can determine how they want to utilize that.
Awesome.
It's also pen enabled. So by default, you would expect your applications to start working with a stylus. One of the things that you don't get is, I guess, or you shouldn't think about, is how you use a keyboard. And because the keyboard doesn't feel very natural in this scenario, like how I'm going to hold a keyboard here, that doesn't feel very natural.
Right.
You want a different way of input. And of course, touch is the obvious one, but pen is the other one. And when you think about like how people engage with a whiteboard, they typically write on it, right? And by writing on the board as well as being able to move around with your hand, you're now creating this multimodal form of input.
And it just switches from touch to pen very easily without clicking any extra buttons or anything like that. I can do ink one time and then touch another time and seamlessly. Right.
And that's because these pens are what are called active digitizers. Mm-hmm. And so the pen, as it comes into range, the screen detects that it's an active pen, a bit like it does on the Surface Pro or on the Surface Book, and then you start writing. As you move the pen away and you now finger, it knows the difference, it knows this is fingers, it knows this is a pen, and it can determine that, and then your application can determine what to do based on pen input or touch input.
And another human aspect to this is the pens have identity too, right?
I mean, right.
So the Surface Hub knows which pen I'm using, and the app developers can take advantage of that as well?
Correct.
Awesome.
So you can determine that this pen is Neil's pen, mm-hmm, and that pen is Shankar's pen.
Yeah.
And then we can do something with that.
Awesome.
So the proximity sensor detects that people have moved in front of the screen. And by moving in front of the screen, it triggers the screen to wake up. So the device will go to sleep when there's no one around, and then when someone walks in front of it, it wakes up and it's ready to use.
Awesome. So does it mean that an app developer can actually make their app start up when a person walks towards the device?
Not exactly. It will light up the operating system and get that ready to start using. Now, if you wanted your app to be triggered by someone walking
or
into the
app.
Space or an app to be triggered, you could use things like NFC. So the device has an NFC reader baked into it just on the side there. And you could use a card or a phone to trigger an app to launch. Or even within an app, you could pick up the fact that someone has placed a card in front of the screen and then utilize that as an authorization mechanism or as a way of triggering an access to maybe their cloud resources.
Awesome. It's got Bluetooth as well?
Right. So like any other Windows 10 machine nowadays, you'd expect Bluetooth. And so your app can think about how you could utilize Bluetooth to maybe connect to a device, maybe share content to a device or from a device to the screen. Or maybe use Bluetooth as a way of authorizing people. So someone could maybe log on their device. That would authorize the application to then access their resources.
It still has to go through the pairing process and all that stuff. But the app developers can make it a little bit easier to automatically pair.
And one thing you should think about in your application, and we'll talk more about this as we get into the tutorials, is utilizing something like a more ad hoc pairing scenario rather than remembering the devices. And we'll talk more about why you don't want to do that as we get into the details of what the hub is and what the hub is not.
Awesome.
Talking
That's
of which.
That's a nice segue, yeah. So I'm going to be talking about what the Surface Hub is not. We've seen what it is and what kind of device it is. And then to start with, it's not a personal computer, right? It's designed as a shared device. It's not like a personal computer that belongs to a single user, right? And then, and it's not something that you log into either. First of all, I mean, you don't want to bring up a text box and then start typing your password
in front of everybody. There's multiple people there, right?
Exactly.
I mean, the worst thing you could do is bring up a big soft keyboard and start typing your password.
It's not built for that scenario, right?
Right.
So although if you want to have authentication, you can use the NFC thing that you mentioned earlier to do second factor authentication or things like that. But it's typically not something that you log into.
Yeah. It's also not a desktop. So, I mean, the physicality of it should imply that, but you wouldn't put it behind a desk. You wouldn't expect someone to be using this with a keyboard and mouse.
Ergonomically also, it doesn't make sense. As you can see, it'll probably hurt your neck or something if you do that, right?
As we've kind of hinted at as well, it's as it's not a personal computer, it's not a place to store your files and your data. And this is actually really important as you're building your software, because the device itself, in the operating system level, will reset the device after each meeting back to the beginning state. So any local files, local content will get deleted.
Awesome.
Now, there's a purpose for this, right? Because it makes it more secure. So it means as we have a meeting here right now with our content, and then when we walk away, we're confident that the content that we just discussed, our brainstorming session, the plan for the new product that we're designing that's top secret, right, is not there anymore.
Exactly.
That's gone.
Yeah.
So when you're building an app, you want to think about, okay, well, if the device itself doesn't store it, I need some way of storing it. So you need to think about how you store it up into a cloud store or some other shared
resource,
OneDrive, maybe somewhere that people can access that content post the session. So I go back to my desktop, I sit down, there's the content that I had a brainstorming session with Shankar about, and I can start working on it.
And I mean, the main thing is that we removed the obstacles or hurdles that you need to go through in preparing for the starting a meeting or stopping a meeting.
Right.
So starting and ending a meeting both are just seamless. When you're gone, it automatically ends your meeting and deletes all the stuff. And same with your app. So you don't have to worry about your app keeping some shared secure data. The Surface Hub will delete it for you.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about that. But you do need to think about how you share the data and for later usage.
Yeah. So talking of usages, what are some of the core scenarios? And I guess we've come up with three core high-level scenarios
that we
think about here, right?
So let's look at them. So the first thing is presentations, like you and I are doing right now. So you can build apps for presentation scenarios where one or more people can actually be the presenters and use the device to present the content. Or the second thing is brainstorming, right? So that's another scenario where two people can come together and brainstorm and create ideas together like you and I are doing right now.
Yep. So
And you say, sir, hub is great. And I say, and awesome.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah. And so you're working on your side, I'm working on my side, but we're actually sharing the content.
Exactly.
And we're working together to come up with some ideas.
And the apps can really highlight these scenarios much more, you know, contextual way, depending on the app scenario. Now, the third scenario that we talk about is sharing, right? So you can actually build apps to bring resources from users like OneDrives and SharePoints and things like that, and then build and collaborate together on this device, like a collage or like a team meeting, a sprint meeting and things like that, and share them back with the meeting attendees very easily also. Let's take a little demo there real quick. So if I, for example, took a screenshot and then I want to share it, I just, you know, click on this icon and then I get a share contract. So we'll see more of that in UWP programming later. But when you do this, you can just share any content with your colleagues in many different ways, and you can program this as well.
So you need to think about what the content is that you're sharing from your application and then what the modality is of how that gets shared. And it might be something that you build into your application as a certain way of working, or it might be something that you just take advantage of the Windows 10 share protocols.
Yeah. And those are like a few scenarios that we talk about, but really, you know, if you ask, like, are those the only scenarios for the, you know, app developers to take advantage of? That's not true. I mean, app developers can actually use this platform as their creative canvas to do much more, bring these three different scenarios together, or make their own scenarios and then really unlock the potential.
Right. Our expectation is that you would take some of those scenarios or all of those scenarios and mix them up into your application and then do things that are specific to your domain to make your application light up on the hub. So this brings us to this topic really, which is why does your customer, as you're developing your application, care about your application running on a big screen device like Surface Hub?
So how do the end users benefit from the apps?
Right. And I guess, you know, one of the first things to think about is that over the last 30 years, we've been, you know, putting personal devices into everybody's hands. And I suspect most people watching this have at least one, probably two or three personal devices, right? And those devices are designed to help us communicate.
Right.
We use them to write email, to send messages, to even talk to each other.
Right.
But when you walk into a meeting room or a classroom or a space where you're trying to work with other people on content, those devices actually become distracting. And you probably see this. You walk into a meeting room, everyone flips open their laptop, and they actually start disengaging from the meeting. And they've got Twitter going, and they've got Facebook going, and they've got emails coming in, and they've got other messages popping up. What would be really cool would be if you had a device like this where you could focus on the digital content and get away from your personal distractions.
Right.
So on here, we don't have my Twitter feed coming across.
Right.
We don't have
your emails
notifications from email.
Yeah.
Right. This is the personal device away, and now we're focused on this content while we're standing here working on something.
Together.
And by doing that, we're creating a much richer way of engaging with each other that's transparent. Now, the difference between using something like Surface Hub and like a shared screen type application, like a WebEx or a Skype application, is that I can actually see your hands moving things.
Right.
I can actually see the actions that you're taking on the screen.
Yeah.
And so this is much clearer to me what's happening. Also, as you're standing there, your body language is giving me a whole lot more information than just what I might be hearing from what you're saying. So if you were just in another room but sharing a screen with me, it would be a very different experience to us actually standing here working together on a piece
of content. Example, if I'm trying to move the slide, advance the slide, you know that I'm going to do that.
Right.
As opposed to when I'm sitting on a laptop and doing Skype, and if I'm going to move that slide, you wouldn't know up front. So there is that anticipation and, you know, being a more collaborative, engaged, you know.
Exactly fashion. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that leads us to the fact that the conversations can start to become more enriched. We can start to see the digital content appear in front of us and we can start to work on it.
Right.
But because it's digital, we can save it and take it back to our desktops in a richer way than we could if it was just a whiteboard or a set of post-it notes or a more physical representation.
So it's really bringing the best of both worlds. The all the best things about the whiteboard where there are no distractions and people coming together and making it digital so you can actually save that screen, wipe it, and then do more work on that.
Absolutely. Right. And this should lead us to creating more engaging meetings. And so when you're building your software, you want to think about how do you create a piece of software that or an app that triggers the meeting to be better.
Yeah, and more creates more engagement, more collaboration from the app,
right.
depending on the context, of course, right?
Yeah, and that means create an app where more people can engage at the same time, leading to more ideas and more focus.
And that's one of the key differences from a desktop programming model where you're thinking like, you know, a single user is using that app at any given time.
Right.
Now you have like multiple users using the app, so you can really bring in more scenarios to light.
Yeah, right. But there are some things that you need to think about, and we'll talk about those when we get into the tutorials, that shift the way that you build your software, because multi-user is very different from single-user applications.
Yeah.
So to summarize what we've talked about so far, the hub is ready for meetings. That's what it's designed for. And there's a set of first-party applications that ship that let you start using it, you know, straight away in meeting spaces. But then it's your job as a software developer to go and build specific, domain-specific applications that will bring your content or the content created by your customers to this screen in a way that enriches that meeting for them.
Like sprint meetings, boardroom meetings, all those scenarios can offer a lot of opportunity for developers to really build cool apps.
I mean, there's such a big range. We could be designing something together. We could be working on stuff together that lead to a rich experience between multiple people in front of a large screen.
So talking about that, like as a developer, I mean, I know that this device has, you know, what it has, what it doesn't have, but are there things that I should think about? Of course, you're talking about like, you know, how it's not a Windows, a traditional Windows programming model, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that we need to think about?
Yeah, and look, this is a high-level summary. We're going to talk a lot more about this when we get into the design session, which is the next video that we're going to do on this. But at a high level, we need to think about how we've moved over the last 40 years from a command line experience to a GUI experience to what we're now calling a natural user experience.
So where you had to remember all the commands, or you know, with graphics, you can just click on different, you know, buttons and icons.
Right.
And this GUI is just bringing completely human aspect into the world, right?
Yeah, it's trying to make it more natural. It's trying to create a more emotionally engaging but contextual, intuitive interface where it's obvious I grab something, I move it around. There's no indirect interaction. It's unmediated, we say. As I move an object or a piece of digital content around, I'm literally picking it up and dragging it across the screen.
And there's nothing that's coming between you and the application that you're using. I mean, that's what the unmediation is about. It's just there are no barriers, really.
Right.
You don't have to click a button to start inking or, you know, start touching.
Right? Yeah. So to summarize, Surface Hub is a large shared screen. It's collaborative and it's engaging. And the applications that you build should take advantage of these aspects. Now, to build those applications, we need some technology. So what technology should we use?
So like I said, you know, Universal Windows Programming Platform, UWP, is the platform that you use to build apps on Surface Hub. And before we talk about UWP, it's good to understand like how the programming model started and evolved.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see at the beginning, Xbox 360, Windows Phone 8, and Windows 7.5 all had their own programming models. You had to develop games and apps differently. And different stores even go to different stores and different accounts and things like that. So what we did was we, you know, converged the kernel, OS kernel, with Xbox, Windows 8, and Windows Phone. And then later, we even converged the app model. And Windows 10 brings basically everything together. So all Windows devices now run one OS called One Core OS. And then we have one app platform. So you use the same tools, same XAML, same APIs, no matter what device you're on. Of course, there are device capabilities that vary, and then you can program about
which is what we're talking about.
Exactly. Right. And then the one store, again, you go to one store to submit an app. So if you're developing an app for IoT or HoloLens or Surface Hub, it's all one experience.
So as a developer, I build an application.
Right.
I can build a UWP app for Surface Hub. I can submit it to the Microsoft Store. And then my customers can pay me and start downloading the application.
Yeah. The same store that they download the phone apps and desktop apps and all that stuff. And then let's look at the programming platform just quickly, okay? So Universal Windows Platform, you know, it offers a lot of things, of course. And there is a UI framework where you can use DirectX, HTML, Windows, XAML, all those things to program your front end. And then there is a rich app model with, you know, it's designed like mobile first, where you get events to resume and, you know, wake up and things like that. And a lot of APIs, and we're bringing more APIs, you know, over time as well. And then that's the app model. And then, you know, that's what applies for Surface Hub here, but there are more things like, you know, to consider if you're developing a desktop app. There are bridges and things like that. That's good to know, but they don't apply for Surface Hub.
Right.
And also, you know, if you're new to Universal Windows programming, what you should do is, like, you know, we recommend you to, you know, look at the Channel 9 series that we made. It's made by Andy Wigley and Shen Chauhan. It's a wonderful tutorial. You can go through that to learn, you know, UWP. And also, if you have any questions about UWP, you can email to this alias called HelloUWP, nicely named, at Microsoft.com. And we're watching that alias and responding to your questions. And there is another way, like Channel 9 forums, of course, where we look at the questions that people post and we answer as well. So, but definitely, you know, learn Universal Windows programming. That's a prerequisite to start developing Surface Hub. And Dr. Neil will be talking more about, like, how to specifically code for Surface Hub.
Yeah, and it's important that the tutorial, it's important that you know that the tutorials that follow through from this video and the design video are all UWP tutorials. So if you're new to this and you want to get into those tutorials, my expectation with those tutorials is that you will already have some UWP knowledge. Right. So if you want to bring yourself up to speed with UWP, have a look at the videos from Andy Wigley and the Getting Started with UWP videos will get you up to speed so that you can follow through the tutorials that follow on this series.
And just builds on the programming languages you guys know, C#, XAML, and all that stuff. It's like you don't have to learn new programming languages per se, just the APIs and how to, you know, the app model, if you will.
Right. Great. And that brings us to the end of this first video in the series of building apps and designing apps for Surface Hub. I hope you join us again for the design video, where we'll explain how to design your application to be a great Surface Hub application. Thank you very much, Shankar,
for
joining us.
And thank you all for joining us. Happy UWP programming.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.